either reserve. You're listening to leaders.com.
ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة، إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يتفكرون. صدق الله العظيم. Respected elders and beloved brothers in Islam, first of all, we should express our gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who out of His infinite grace and mercy has granted us this opportunity to gather in His house. My respected brothers, for those of you who remember, 2 weeks ago we began a discussion concerning the teachings given to us by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam concerning the institution of nikah. We also discussed the importance the Sharia has attached to it and the various wisdoms behind a person performing nikah. That is, a person is able to control his shahwat, is able to control his desires. It becomes a means of him lowering his gaze. And also we discussed the ta'aleem given to us by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam concerning not delaying that nikah, not letting our children become too old, not letting them come to such a stage where they have already committed guna and committed sin and then taking them and performing their nikah. But that the ta'aleem of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being that this thing should be performed beforehand. This thing should be performed when their shahwat, when their desires are at a height, so that the institution of nikah becomes a barrier, it becomes a means of protecting them from breaking the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I mentioned, inshallah, on this occasion, we will discuss a few aspects, a few guidelines given to us by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam concerning the choice of a person to whom we should get married to. We find, my respected brothers, at this point, the thought should not cross the minds of most of us that we have already performed our nikah. What will be the benefit in us hearing what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has thought concerning what a type of wife that should be chosen? This is only for the youngsters. This is only for a few amongst us. It is not for all of us. Some of us are 40, some of us are 50. We have performed our nikahs a long time ago. My respected brothers, that thought should never come through our mind. For two simple reasons. The first reason being that the ta'aleem of deen, no matter which aspect of deen it is, if a person has to learn it with the correct intention that he is going to bring it into his life and not only keep it to within himself but pass it on to others and take it to the four corners of the world, then that is already one very, very great benefit. And the second benefit, my respected brothers, and much more important for us to realize, is that when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given guidelines and he has given guidance that this is the type of woman or this is the type of boy that you should look for when getting your daughter or your son married, my respected brothers, it becomes the incumbent duty of every parent that is sitting here to think to himself that what type of a son am I bringing up in my home? What type of a daughter am I bringing up in my home? Am I bringing up somebody that is desirable in the light of the ahadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam to get married or not? We should look at whether these sifat, we should look at whether these qualities are prevalent or are existent amongst our children. Because, my respected brothers, it is our duty to make an effort to bring these qualities within our children. We find Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that tunkahul mar'atu li arba'in. We have heard this hadith many times, but by way of muzakara, I will mention it once again. Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that generally a woman is married for four reasons, for four qualities, for four traits that are prevalent in her. Limaliha, wali hasabiha, wali jamaliha, wali diniha. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned four things, and also we learn from this hadith that these four things are not looked down upon. It is not wrong if a person has to look for these four qualities. But Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has shown us that generally a woman is married for these four qualities, and what should be the most important in our eyes. The first quality being limaliha, because of the wealth of that woman or the wealth of her family. We find that generally when a person is looking for a wife, sometimes the desire comes in his heart, maybe he's not so well off, he looks for a woman with wealth. And the second quality being lihasabiha, the lineage of that family. What type of status, what type of position the family holds in society. Are the members of the family looked up towards? Are they respected? Or is the family looked down upon? Are they known to be the breakers of the commands of Allah Ta'ala? Or are they thieves in the family, etc.? What type of impression the society has concerning that family? That is the second thing that normally a person looks for in a woman, to check what type of family she is coming from. And the third quality, and unfortunately, my respected brothers, I say this unfortunately, this has become the most important quality in our most of our eyes, لِجَمَالِهَا, the beauty of that particular woman. We find, my respected brothers, that if you look at the three things that I have mentioned so far, لِمَالِهَا, وَلِحَسَبِهَا, وَلِجَمَالِهَا, each of these three things are temporary things. Each of these things are here today, they can be gone tomorrow. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi used to say concerning money, al-malu ghadun wa rahihun, that money is such a thing, wealth is such a thing, that it is here in the morning, it's gone in the evening. We see in society, sometimes somebody is very well off, and then some hadithah comes, some tragedy afflicts that family so far as the wealth goes, and the person has lost all his wealth. Now if we are going to make the criterion of our choice in a woman, her wealth, and tomorrow that woman's family has to lose their wealth, then my respected brothers, what is going to stop that feeling coming in our hearts that I have wasted my time, I have not achieved what I wanted when getting married. The second quality, lihasabiha, the lineage of that family. Today somebody has got a good name, tomorrow somebody in the family can do something and that name is lost. Lijamaliha, the beauty of that woman. If you look at the nature, the very trait of insan, my respected brothers, is this, that when he hasn't got something, then his heart is going to lean towards the thing. And the moment he's got it in him, then the novelty is lost, then he starts looking in another direction. Take that beautiful car, take that beautiful vase, take that beautiful ornament which you saw in the shop, you couldn't have it, it was too expensive, you saved up for it, you bought it, now you put it in your home. It looks beautiful to you the first day, it looks beautiful the second day. What happens once the first month is gone? What happens once the second month has come? What happens when you've got to look at that same vase and look in the same, live in the same house with it year upon year? Likewise, a woman also, my respected brothers. If you are going to make the criterion of marrying her, only her beauty, only our inclination towards her, once she has come in our control, once she is in our marriage, when she has got to listen to us, at that time, my respected brothers, we are going to have to face her day in and day out. At that time, we're going to come to that same woman at the end of the day. We are going to be tired. What is going to instill within that woman the urge to present our meal before us? What is going to teach her that she should treat her husband kindly? What is going to teach her to speak correctly towards her husband? My respected brothers, that is the fourth quality, wali deeniha. Nabi Apostle said that the fourth quality a person looks for when he gets married is the deen and the characteristic. And what type of a woman is that person concerning her deen? And my respected brothers, Nabi Apostle said, فَظْفَرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ, become successful concerning deen. Give preference to the deen of that woman over every other quality. Because like I mentioned, the wealth may be gone. Tomorrow she can meet up in an accident, that beauty is gone. But this deen, that thing that is going to teach her that I should serve my husband, that thing that is going to instill within her that my success in akhirat is concerning pleasing my husband, the thing that is going to bring taqwa in her heart, that is the deen and the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we make that the criterion, my respected brothers, then you can never ever go wrong. And Nabi Apostle has said, الدُّنْيَا كُلُّهَا mata, that this world, everything in it is mata, it is things which you use, it is full of possessions. وَخَيْرُ مَتَاعِهَا الْمَرْأَةُ الصَّالِحَةُ, the best thing, the best thing a person can ever have in this world is a pious wife. My respected brothers, we cannot even imagine the wisdom behind why Nabi Apostle said this. Because my respected brothers, that unfortunately now when we are looking to get married, the person does not want to look for that woman in parda. The person does not want to look for that woman who has got the ta'lim of deen. Why? Because he thinks to himself that if I'm going to get married to such a woman, then she's going to stop me when I want to go here and when I want to go there. When I want to break the command of Allah Ta'ala, she's going to stop me. My respected brothers, we are only looking at our desires. We are not looking at the akhirat. We are not looking at the halat of those children. My respected brothers, marriage brings with it a responsibility. Allah Ta'ala does not address the disbelievers. He addressed the mu'mineen in the Holy Quran when he said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا, that all you who believe,
save yourself and your families from the fire of Jahannam. My respected brothers, in whichever direction we can look, we can try to reason it out, but the child, 9 times out of 10, is going to follow that mother. You can be as pious as you like, you can try to put the greatest influence upon that child, but it is the mother of that child, it is the mother who is going to breastfeed that child, it is the mother that is going to see to the needs of that child, and 9 times out of 10, the child is going to follow that mother. And we are given the instruction in the Holy Quran that save yourselves and your families from the fire of Jahannam. If we make this our niyat, if not for ourselves, then at least for the sake of those children, that they become namazis, that they bring deen into their lives, let us look for such a woman who is going to be worried about the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not worried about the things of this world. We find that Nabi Pak said in another hadith that Mustafad al Mu'minu Bada taqwa Allahi khairun lahu min zawjatin salihatin. That after gaining the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after instilling within us the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is nothing in this world that will benefit a person more than a pious wife. And Nabi Pak described what a pious wife is. And this is for us to learn now that we have to instill these qualities within our daughters. It is senseless, my respected brothers, us being very pious, us attending the masjid, us worrying about our deen, but we do not worry about that daughter. She is sent to the co-educational school. She mixes around the afternoon where she is not supposed to be going. All sorts of ideologies are coming within her head. She is sitting in front of that shaitan box that is teaching her that go against your husband, go out, go further in society, expose and reveal yourself in society. My respected brothers, tomorrow that same woman is going to go into somebody else's house and he will have to live with her. What right do we have to destroy that person's akhirat and to destroy the akhirat of the children of that person? This is a responsibility. I'm mentioning it time and again, my respected brothers. It is for us to realize. Nabi Apostle described the pious wife as what? In nazara ilayha sarratu. That when he looks at this woman, then he becomes pleased. He becomes pleased at her demeanor. He becomes pleased at her manner. Aqsama alayha abarrathu, that if he has to take a qasam concerning this woman, that definitely my wife would do this, then she would free him from that qasam, she would carry it out correctly. That in nazara alayha sarrathu, wa in ghaba anha nasahathu fi nafsiha wa malihi. And when he has to become absent from that woman, when he has to go on safar, when he has to go on journey, or when he has to leave his home in the morning and go towards his business, my respected brothers, this is where we are failing. We find that in every aspect of our life we want to follow the West. We get carried away by how glamorously they present the society. But if we look at the type of filth that is going on in their homes, if we look at the type of filth that is found in the society, which is beyond imagining. When a man leaves his home in the morning, he does not know where his wife is going, who she is mixing with, who she is talking to. By respect of what type of a life is that? The children will see their mother talking to somebody else. What type of children are being brought up in that home? We find that the husband and the wife are both gone into the business. They are both working to own this dunya. No consideration is given towards those children. That is the life of the West. And unfortunately, we find that step by step, in every aspect of our life, we are starting to follow them. Nabi Apostle described the pious wife as another quality. Wa in amaraha ata'athu. When he commands his wife, when he tells his wife to do something, then she obeys him and she carries it out. My respected brothers, in how many of our homes are these things found? We find that it is only the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is only the fear of Allah ta'ala that is going to instill within that woman the urge to do these things for her husband. And then, my respected brothers, life in this world will become very, very sweet and it will become a great source of joy to us, because we know that when we leave our home, we can trust that woman that is found there. She will look after our wealth, she will look after our possessions, she will look after our children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, referring to this institution of nikah, the ayat which I recited, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا. That it is an ayat, it is a sign of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala has referred to the institution of nikah as being one of his ayat, as being one of his signs. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا. That he created from amongst you wives. We find, my respected brothers, that automatically the first aspect of the ayat, if we have to think to ourselves, how merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, that He created min anfusikum, He created from the same species, wives for us. Allah ta'ala could have created our wives from amongst the jinnat, and any person can think that the moment you cross two different species, that automatically there's going to be fight, there's going to be disagreement between the two of them. Allah ta'ala, in order to create this love, in order to create this affection, He created partners for us from amongst the same species, from amongst ourselves. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. So that you may gain sukoon, so that you may gain contentment, so that you may gain peace from that nikah. And we have to think to ourselves, my respected brothers, are we finding this peace? Are we finding this contentment? Are we finding this sukoon in our nikah? It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is going to create this, and only when we will turn towards the teachings of Nabi Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and we will implement these things concerning the choice of the wife, concerning how we live with that wife, then only sukoon will be found. Because we find one hadith, Nabi Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that thalathatun haqqun 'ala Allahi awnuhum, that there are three categories of people concerning which it is haqq upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He should aid them, that He should assist them. And one such category is an-nakihu alladhi yuridu al-afaf. That is a person who wants to get married, but his niyat behind his marriage, the reason he wants to get married is afaf, in order to gain chastity, in order to protect himself. My respected brothers, how many amongst us have the niyat of deen in our minds when we get married? How many amongst us consider the fact that we are getting married because it is the sunnat of Nabi Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? I am getting married in order to bring deen in my life. I am getting married because Nabi Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that to get married is half of deen. I am getting married so that I may find a pious woman, so that even when I want to break the command of Allah Ta'ala, she may become a rukawat, she may become a barrier. How many of us have this niyat in our hearts? Some of us are getting married because our parents are forcing us. Some of us are getting married in order because we want to have a good time with that woman. How many of us, my respected, bring this niyat of deen in our hearts? Allah Ta'ala has said, it is the promise of Allah Ta'ala that this nikah is one of His signs, is one of His ayat, and the quality of this nikah is لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. You will find that sukoon, you will find that contentment. Allah will place that contentment there. But my respected brothers, we have to adopt the road shown to us by Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then Allah Ta'ala says, وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. And it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that will place between you and your wife مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. Two qualities, and even if we look at the sequence in which it is mentioned, already there is hikmat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first quality, Allah ta'ala says, that Allah ta'ala will place between you and your wife love. He will place affection between the both of you. We find, my respected brothers, if we think and consider that the person is very, very young, he gets married to that woman, he is attracted towards her, she is beautiful, at that time Allah ta'ala places love in his heart, he lives with her, he fulfills her rights. That woman also will fulfill his rights, because she loves him, and that affection and that newness of that marriage is there. But as the years pass, as she gives birth to a few children, then she is no more looking as good as she was. We find this is the nizam, the system of Allah Ta'ala, that woman is going to put on weight as she gives birth to children. Now we find, my respect, that the same person is going into society, unfortunately his eyes are falling upon everything else, and at that time his desires, his shahwat is growing in his heart. We find, my respected brothers, Allah Ta'ala says, Allah Ta'ala, after that love, will place rahmat in your heart. He will place mercy in the heart of that person. That person will think and consider, this woman served me for so many years, this woman bore my children for me, now how can I desert her, and now how can I turn in some other direction? And likewise, that woman also will have rahmat and mercy for her husband, that he has served me for so many years, he has seen to my needs for so many years. Then we will find sukoon, we will find contentment in that home. Because Allah will place this love, and later on, Allah Ta'ala will place this rahmat between that husband and wife. We find then Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمِ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. That in this are signs that for that people that are thinking, that are making tafakkur, that are pondering over the system of Allah Ta'ala, that how He has created this oneness that is found between a husband and a wife. My respected brothers, if you have to ponder over the institution of nikah, it will lead us to the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we find that that woman who is brought into the home of her husband, the husband does not desire that any outsider should look towards her. He does not desire that she should serve anybody else besides him. And because of the fear of Allah Ta'ala, that woman becomes completely subservient towards her husband. She gives everything over to her husband that she has looked after throughout her entire life. And we find that automatically, like that, the banda has to think and he has to realize, Allah has given me everything. Allah is sustaining me. Allah is looking after me. How can I turn in any other direction besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Like how that man would become absolutely angry that he can even go to the extent of taking the life of his wife if she has to turn towards another man. Like that, we can understand the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if we have to turn this forehead and turn our inclination towards anybody else besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make shirk with Allah ta'ala. Like that, in the institution of nikah, we can see the wisdom behind this concept of tawheed, behind turning solely and completely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have looked at the one aspect of it concerning the boy, when he, what type of a woman he should look at. We find, my respected brothers, the ta'lim of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is also found on both sides. Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam informs the father of that child, informs the father of that daughter, that إِذَا خَطَبَ إِلَيْكُمْ مَنْ تَرْضَوْنَ دِينَهُ وَخُلُقَهُ فَزَوِّجُوهُ إِلَّا تَفْعَلُوهُ تَكُنْ فِتْنَةٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَفَسَادٌ عَرِيسٌ. O kama qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when a proposal is received in your home for your daughter, at that time you find that that person is such that you are happy with the akhlaq of that person, you are happy with the deen of that person, then Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructs that father, fazawwiju, get your daughter married to that person. Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say to that father, look at how wealthy that person is, look at how handsome that person is, look at what family that person is coming from. The main criterion, the most important thing, is the akhlaq and the deen of that person. If you are happy with this, then get your daughter married to that person. My respected brothers, wallah, if you only have to think and look at these ahadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will see that the solution to all the problems of this world lie in the ahadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The broken homes, the destitute children, the number of divorces that is taking place, that sukoon that is no more found in the home, everything, the solution lies in the teaching of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If only we will forget to our turning towards the West and bring these things in our life, my respected brother, such peace and such contentment will come. Because let us think, when we're getting that daughter married, she is our daughter, we have brought her up with love and with affection. Tomorrow when we look at the wealth only of that person, when we look at that person standing in society and we grant our daughter to that person, then we hear he has struck her, we hear he has beaten her, we hear that that person is drinking, he's not looking after our daughter, then we are going to cry and then we are going to think that what a great musibat has fallen upon us. My respected brothers, it is only akhlaq, it is only deen that is going to create that fear within that person to look after that woman, to treat her nicely at the time when he loses his temper, at the time when it is absolutely easy for him to strike her and nobody is going to question him. At that time, it is the fear of Allah Ta'ala that will stop that person. My respected brothers, we want good for our daughters, but we go about it completely wrong. We go about it in completely the other direction. That is why Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if you are happy with the deen and the akhlaq of that person, فَزَوِّجُوهُ, get your daughter married to that person. Why? إِلَّا تَفْعَلُوهُ تَكُنْ فِتْنَةٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَفَسَادٌ عَرِيسٌ. If you do not do this, if you do not make deen and akhlaq the criterion for the acceptance of that proposal, then there will be fitna and fasad upon the face of the earth. Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, my respected brothers, what he has said is absolute haq and it is absolute truth. And we can look around us and we can look at the condition that is found amongst us. We have left the teachings of Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That is why there is this problem. Look at just one incident we mentioned from the life of the Sahaba. My respected brothers, there are so many, the life of the Sahaba are replete with examples, with guidelines for us. If we can only bring these things into our life. Look at the case of Abu Darda radiallahu anhu. On one occasion, Yazid bin Muawiyah, the son of Muawiyah, who was a ruler at that time, and he was a person that was very, very wealthy. He sent a proposal to Abu Darda radiallahu anhu for his daughter, Darda. And we find that at that time, Abu Darda radiallahu anhu considered the proposal and he turned it down. When the news was received that Abu Darda radiallahu anhu had turned, now remember, Yazid bin Muawiyah was a prominent person, he was a ruler at that time, and this proposal had been turned down which had come for his daughter. Look at our condition and think to ourselves, if some ruler, some wealthy person has to send a proposal for our daughter, we won't look left, we won't look right, straight away we will only give our daughter in that family. Because my respect is, unfortunately, we have given importance to these things. Status, standing in society, etc., these things have become important to us. If you find that when the rejection of the proposal, the news was received, then there was a person who used to work for Yazid, a lowly person in his court. He told Yazid that, give me permission, may Allah Ta'ala find you a good wife, give me permission to also propose for the same woman. At first he turned him down. When he asked him again, so he told him, okay, you can propose for that woman. Now we find, my respect brothers, that here is an ordinary worker, he is a person who has a low standing in society. He sends a proposal to Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, and as Abu Darda radiallahu anhu gets him daughter to, married to his daughter. Now we find that as is common in society, the people begin to talk, that he turned down the proposal of the ruler and he gave his daughter to a lowly person like this. So somebody came to Abu Darda radiallahu anhu and he questioned him that, why was this your reaction? Why did you react like this? My respected brothers, here in this reply, we have to learn our lesson and think for ourselves what has become of our priorities. He said that nazartu ila darda, I looked towards my daughter Darda, and he said, ma dhannukum bi darda idha qamat ala ra'siha khasyan, that what do you think will be the condition of my daughter Darda when, after getting married to such a rich person, standing at her head will be eunuchs, will be slaves that will attend to her every whim and her every desire. Wa nazarat ila baytin, and she will look towards such a house wherein the ornaments and everything is so beautiful, and so many of the things of this world is, that يَلْتَمِعُ فِيهَا بَصَرُهَا, that her eyes will begin to shine, and she will be taken in by the gleam and the glamour of all that is found and that is presented before her. As Abu Darra said, that أَيْنَ دِينُهَا مِنْهَا يَوْمَئِذٍ, that what will happen to the deen of my daughter at that day, if this is going to be her condition. My respected brothers, he understood the threat that this dunya and the things that of this dunya will pose to the deen of his daughter, and that was the criterion why he turned down that proposal. To us, my respected brothers, the way our minds have become conditioned, we will think in completely the opposite way. We find, my respected brothers, we have to learn from these things and bring these things into our life. And we find that once a person has found the type of woman he is looking for, he has looked at the piety of that woman and he has sent the proposal, then, my respected brothers, we find that that boy should, before sending the proposal, he should perform istikhara namaz, he should ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he should make mashwara with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and find out whether there is khair, whether there is good for him in getting married to that woman. If he receives an indication from Allah Ta'ala and he finds his heart leaning towards that woman, then he should send that proposal. My respected brothers, we find that here again, if we look at the guidelines shown to us by Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said that إِذَا خَطَبَ أَحَدُكُمْ إِلَىٰ إِمْرَاتٍ, if one of you has to send a proposal to a woman, فَإِنِ اسْتَطَاعَ يَنْظُرَ إِلَىٰ مَا يَدْعُوهُ إِلَىٰ نِكَاحِهَا فَلْيَفْعَلْ, if he has the ability that he glances at the woman to whom he has sent the proposal, whom he wants to bring into his nikah, then he should do so. My respected brothers, look at the talim of Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He said, one glance at that woman, that we go to the house, gain the permission of the parents, and in front of a mahram, we take one glance at that woman, then we come back, our trust is in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we make istikhara, seek mashura from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the firm yaqeen that the success of that marriage is only in the hands of Allah ta'ala, and I am doing it for the sake of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the one talim of Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the other talim, the type of filth that has come into our homes, the type of filth that has come into our minds, that it is necessary in order for us to know whether the marriage is going to be successful, that I should send my daughter out with that boy, that he should come and he should speak to her. How am I going to know if they are going to live with each other? How am I going to know if they are compatible? All these strange sorts of terms that have been fed to us by the West that create a license for us to send that boy and that girl out long before the marriage, because now he's proposed, they are engaged, let them go out, they are going here, they are going there, long before the marriage. The things that are supposed to take place after the marriage have already been done, and at that time he's no more interested in the daughter. At that time shame comes upon the society. At that time they break the proposal, then one family is not talking to another family. My respected brothers, that is the situation of the West, and that is what we have brought into our home. Nabi Pak gave the Sahaba the talim of one glance towards that woman, because that woman is a haram upon him. After he has proposed to her, till he gets married as any other woman, she is haram. And Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is cursed at that person and looks towards that woman, and the one towards whom the gaze is directed, that is a woman that is haram upon a person. So we learn from this, my respected brothers, that is all that is necessary. One glance at that woman. Thereafter, should the girl's party feel that they want to get married, they get the daughter married to that person, then automatically, then, if they find that they accept the proposal, then there is no need for another engagement after that. There is no need to gather all the people together, intermingling of men and women, all sorts of wrong things taking place, dances, na'udzubillah, taking place, music, na'udzubillah, being played, all sorts of things that we have learned from the West, all sorts of things that we have learned from the Hindus around us, from the Christians around us, and we have brought these things into our life. My respected brothers, it could never have been gotten from the Sahaba of Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. These things were not found in their life. From where else could we have got it, besides from the Nasara, besides from the Yahud? We find that unnecessary expenses is incurred in an engagement taking place. Thereafter, a long period is taken. We wait for a long time before we actually get the two of them married. At that time, they are both inclined towards sin and they break the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that there are three things that should never be delayed. And one of those things is the marriage of a salient, of a woman who is not married. Once her partner has been found, they should not be delayed. It's not necessary to wait for the uncle from India to come. It's not necessary to wait for my brother Morana from another province to come. It is not necessary, the brother is writing exam in his university, he's going to come in a few months time. Why are we creating all these delays? Why are we making it so difficult? Such a simple and sweet sunnah of Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that he sees one of his sahaba, one from the Ashara Mubashara, Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, and he noticed some sufra, something like saffron on his clothes, which was not permissible for men. So he asked him that, what is this saffron that I see on your clothes? What is this sufra? He said that I got married to a woman, and we find that he informs Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that his marriage had taken place. We find, let us look at this. He's one of the closest Sahaba of Nabiya Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabiya Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't even know he had gotten married. He was in Medina. Nabiya Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was also in Medina. Didn't he realize, didn't he think that there would be more barakat if I called the Nabiya of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that I should delay it, I should try to bring the Nabiya of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to my nikah? My respected brothers, we find from this, we learn from this, that Sharia does not attach importance to these things. That marriage should not be delayed. We find another incident which is also shown to us, where Hazrat Salman radiallahu anhu tells Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, that go to the tribe of Banu Lays and present a proposal for me over there. I want to get married to a woman from the family. So he goes there on behalf of his friend. He speaks to the parents. He speaks of the fact that Hazrat Salman radiallahu anhu brought Islam very early. He speaks of his prominence. He speaks how pious he is. Then the parents consider and they say that we don't want to get our daughter married to Salman radiallahu anhu. We want to get her married to you, Abu Darda radiallahu anhu. So we find that straight away at that occasion, he considers, he says, okay, I'm prepared to get married to your daughter. There and then, in that very majlis, they didn't go out to look for Nabiya Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they didn't go out to look for somebody else and go and call them, the nikah was performed automatically in that condition. But respected brother, if somebody had to tell us about something like that taking place today, we think that the person is gone mad, something is wrong with this person. But we find that this is how our thinking has become compared to the teachings of Nabiya Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So we find that at that time, he goes out after having married that woman and he looks for Salman radiallahu anhu and he goes to him. Now think, my respected brothers, if we send our friend to go and give a proposal by somebody's house and he goes and gets married to that woman and then he's coming back now to tell us that he got married to him, what will happen to us? How angry will we become? We won't talk to that person for the rest of our life. He comes to Hazrat Salman radiallahu anhu and he tells him that there is something I have to tell you, but I am feeling very, very shy. I am feeling very, very ashamed. So he asks him, do not fear. Tell me, what is it that is shaming you? What is it that you are feeling shy about? He says that I went there, I presented. We have seen that they had, that nothing in this world and in the akhirat happens except through the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that everything is in the control of Allah ta'ala. He says that ana ahakku an astahyi minka an aqtubaha wa kana Allahu qad qaddaraha laka. He said that I should be more ashamed of you, that I had the audacity to send a proposal to a woman whom Allah has made muqaddar for you. This is the type of yaqeen that they had, that he was in the tafsir of Allah Ta'ala, that he should get married to this woman. I didn't even have the right to send a proposal to him. That was the type of cleanliness that they had in their hearts. My respected brothers, this is what we have to bring into our lives. I've gone long beyond the time. Brothers should forgive us. We find that there's a holiday, so we took a bit more of your time. Inshallah, if Allah Ta'ala gives life an opportunity, we will discuss actually the function of nikah, how it should be carried out, and how the man and woman should live together in the light of their hadith and zikr inshallah. Allah Ta'ala give each and every one.
Last week we reached the point where we discussed concerning the choice of either be it male or female, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us advice to choose. And then we also discussed concerning the fact that in the Shariat there is no recognition of having a particular function or having a gathering in the sense which we refer to as engagement or engagement party or whatever it may be. Find my respected brothers, before I go on with that one salient point concerning putting a proposal forward for a girl after having made istikhara namaz, after having made mashura with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if the person's inclination is towards that girl and he places the proposal, then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given the directive, has given the advice to anybody else who may have been interested in that family, that لا يخطب الرجل على خطبة أخيه. That do not, once you become aware, somebody else has placed a proposal for a girl, and the family is considering that proposal, then now you do not go and place another proposal upon the first proposal that has already been gone, that is already gone. Because as we mentioned, my respected brothers, as was clearly shown to us by the incident from the life of the Sahaba, that whatever is muqaddar for a person, whatever Allah has destined for a person, only that will happen, nothing less than that, and nothing more than that will ever happen. What Allah has destined for you, without a doubt, that you will get. No matter what you do, no matter which direction you go, no matter what type of plans you make, that which Allah has destined for you, that will happen, and nothing else. So we find, my respected brothers, our yaqeen should be this, that if Allah has destined a particular girl for me, then definitely there's something will happen. The family might turn down that proposal. They might look in another direction. But once we know that the proposal is gone, we shouldn't think to ourselves, as they say, there's plenty of fish in the ocean. We shouldn't think to ourselves that if I lose out on that girl, then I will be in a problem, I will not be able to find anybody else. So we find that this is a time when a person has to control his nafs, has to control his desire. And on the other hand, we find very unfortunately the practice becoming very common that if somebody has a very beautiful daughter or is well off and there are a lot of people interested in his daughter, he sort of like forms up a parade that once one proposal comes, he calls other people, anybody else who wants to come, let them all come and see his daughter, and then he feels now that I've gathered about 5 or 6 people, I should choose from amongst them. This is directly contrary to the teaching of Nabiya Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they can never ever be khair in such a thing. They can never ever be good in such a thing, because it contradicts the words of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is why we find, my respected brothers, if the yaqeen is there, as I mentioned time and again, if the yaqeen is there, that everything, the success of it lies in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then all the solution to all these problems comes about. Because then we will turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will look at the ta'aleem of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we will practice in this direction. And as I mentioned, my respected brothers, concerning these engagements, concerning wedding parties taking place, concerning what we call mehndi parties, all sorts of strange things, we have to sit, we have to think to ourselves, we have to go to the ulama-e-kiram, and we have to find out that in the life of the Sahaba, in the life of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the life of the Sahaba, in the life of the Tabi'een, in the life of the Tabi'een, has there ever been such a thing? Where has this thing come about? What sanction in Sharia do we find for such things? We find, my respected brothers, these things have become so common that if that party doesn't take place, if that huge meal doesn't take place, if that 2 or 3 days beforehand that mehndi doesn't take place, we feel that the wedding has not even taken place. We find, my respected brothers, unnecessary attention is given in this direction, great amounts of money is spent in this direction, whereas on the one hand, we have the most beautiful and the most pristine words of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clearly said, and my respected brothers, this is the qanun, this is the principle, this is the law that we will have to apply in the concerning nikah. We find that there are certain things in the Sharia wherein we are given inclination, wherein we are given targheeb, wherein we are invited to spend in that direction. And there are certain things in the Sharia or certain functions or certain times in our life when the Sharia prohibits us from spending in that direction. Now, if a person has to go contrary to that and begins to start spending huge sums of money in something which the Sharia has prohibited him from, then that we will refer to as israf. And the Quran says quite clearly, إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ, that those who make israf, they are the brothers of shaitan. So we find, my respected brothers, Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ أَعْظَمَ النِّكَاحِ بَرَكَةً أَيْسَرُهُ مَعُونَةً أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That we find that any person whose daughter is about to get married or his son is about to get married, he'll meet the family, he'll meet his friends, every person he meets, he's asking, make dua, Allah Ta'ala puts barakat in the marriage, Allah Ta'ala brings khair, Allah Ta'ala grants them pious children, Allah Ta'ala finds a good jorah for my daughter, etc. All these things we hear about, my respected brothers. But Nabi Prophet has given us the prescription, he has given us the formula. He says that that nikah in which the least expenses are incurred, inna azaman nikahi barakatan, it has the most barakah. Allah Ta'ala will grant the most blessing to that particular nikah, wherein the least expenses, wherein the least problems are incurred. Now, if we are going to spend 1,000, 50,000, and 100,000, we even hear about, my respected brothers, in that direction, then it can never ever be with this niyat that I'm doing to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can that ever be the niyat when Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that the best nikah is where the least expenses are incurred? This is one direction, this is something in which Sharia has not sanctioned the wasting of money. Today we will talk about inflation having gone up, we will talk about the price of petrol gone up, we will talk about how difficult things are, we will talk how expensive it is to buy vegetables, how expensive it is to run a home. The same person when his daughter is getting married or when his son is getting married, that time he'll take a loan for 50,000 and 60,000 and he spends it in this direction. What khair and what barakah can there ever be in such a thing, my respected brothers? When Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that nikah wherein the least expenses is occurred, that is the most barakah in it. And then, my respected brothers, together with this, there is one very, very important principle of Sharia which we should always remember. Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find when you look at the conjunction of ahadith, we learn that concerning breaking the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, concerning making guna, there are two types of sin a person can make. One type is death sin, which is confined to that person that is in the darkness of his home. When nobody is looking, he breaks the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His nafs
We find that his desires overtake him, and at that time, out of weakness, he broke the command of Allah Ta'ala. But the fact of the matter is that the sin only affects that person. Later on in his life, Allah Ta'ala may give him the tawfiq. He may turn in repentance to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. He may beg forgiveness from Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala will forgive such a person. On the other hand, my respected brothers, a much more dangerous type of sin, where we find Nabi Prophet said that man sanna sunnatan sayyatan fa alayhi wizruha wa wizru man amila biha, that person who becomes the means, he becomes the sabab of causing a haram or a wrong act to become arm, he becomes the means for others to involve themselves in that haram, then upon him is the sin for the carrying out that action, and the sin of all the other people that do that wrong is also upon the head of this person. We find intermingling of sexes in such gatherings. When Nabi Prophet has said that لَعَنَ اللَّهُ النَّاظِرَ وَالْمَنْظُورِ إِلَيْهَا, that Allah's curse is upon the one that is looking at that haram, he's looking at that woman he's not allowed to look at, and the one towards whom the gaze is directed, we become the sabab of creating such gatherings. We find when Nabi Prophet said that al-ghinaa yunbitu an-nifaq fi al-qalbi kama yunbitu al-maa'u adh-dharra, that music causes hypocrisy, nifaq, to grow in the heart, like how when you put water in the ground and the plant grows. Sadiq al-Masuq sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that listening to music will cause nifaq, hypocrisy, to grow in your heart, like how that plant will grow. And we find that none of these gatherings take place. Even in our business, we feel that it is conducive towards increasing our business, that music must be there throughout the day. When the curse of Allah Ta'ala is upon such things, how can we ever take pleasure in involving ourselves in such things? And not only do we put that music on, we become the means of all those other people listening to it, and we have to answer before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, another aspect, another evil, I respect that we just have to think to ourselves, where have we gotten this wisdom? Either it is from the Hindus, or it is from the Nasara, or it is from the Yahud. The setting up of stages at weddings, where do we ever find such things? It is only amongst the Nasara, it is only amongst the Christians. Nabi Prophet said that man tashabbaha biqawmin fahuwa minhum, he who will imitate a nation, he is from amongst them. Such a grave warning Nabi Prophet gives us, that if you are going to follow the way of the Nasara, if you are going to follow the way of the other nation, then Allah will count you amongst that particular nation. We find the setting up of stages, and no wedding will take place unless first and foremost, we must organize the photographer to come there. We must organize now even a worse evil, that the TV camera must come there. Why are you doing such things? Don't you know it is haram? The simplest answer, 10 years from now, 15 years from now, how am I going to remember this happy occasion when my daughter got married? My respected brothers, how far have we gone from the talim of Nabi Prophet? Nabi Prophet said that kullu musawwirin fi nar fa yuj'alu lahu nafsan bi kulli suratin yaj'aluha fa yu'adhibuhu fi jahannam, kama qala sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that every picture maker, every person who takes pictures, etc., such a person is in the fire of jahannam, and for every picture he has made, Allah Ta'ala will create a living object that will cause azab to him in the fire of jahannam. Nabi Prophet said man sawwara suratan fi dunya sawwara Allahu kullifa an yanfukha fiha ar-ruh yawm al-qiyamati wa laysa binafiqin, that person who makes a picture of an inanimate object in this world, Allah will make him mukallaf. Allah will command him that you try to imitate my qudrat of creating. On the day of judgment, Allah will tell him that now you made that inanimate object, now put life into it, blow a ruh into that person. And he says wa laysa binafiqin, you will never ever be able to put ruh into that person. Inna ashadda an-nasi azaban yawm al-qiyamati al-musawwirun, that the worst azab on the day of judgment is for those people who make pictures of animate objects. My respected brothers, when the warnings are so severe, let us forget about our logic. Let us forget about all the same sort of excuses that Shaitan puts in our minds, and that the West is feeding us. Let us realize that the warning was given to us by Nabi Prophet ﷺ, that the worst type of azab is for such people. How can we become the sabab for such things? Albums in the home, we find that when the visitors will come, they'll open it, look at this, look at that, we're showing pictures all the time, completely unaware or completely not paying any attention to the warning given to us by Nabi Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My respected brothers, the point I am trying to get at is when our yaqeen is there that Allah, it is in Allah's hands that nikah is going to succeed, that only Allah Ta'ala is going to create love between these people, then how can we do everything to bring the azab of Allah Ta'ala, everything to bring the anger of Allah Ta'ala into that particular gathering? And then we turn our hands and make dua to Allah Ta'ala, that Ya Allah, make it a success. And we want to know why the divorce rate has become so high, why there's no more barakah in the marriage, why such children are coming out of such marriages. My respected brothers, we have to think to ourselves, and we have to realize it is about time that aside from making dua, it is about time that now we begin to bring the teachings of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam practically in our life. And my respected brothers, I'm going to veer off at this point. In fact, we find that it is the opinion of most of the ulama, and we find that it is the opinion of those who have got tajruba and experience, that in this day and age, when there is so much of fitna around us, when everything is inviting us in another direction, we will have to, most of us at least, my respected brothers, at least join the effort of Jamaat. We find that it is only this, my respected brothers, that is going to now start taking us in the right direction. We find that people were so far away from deen, and they began to realize the value of sunnah, and became such beautiful Muslims, my respected brothers. We find that such fitnas are going on around us. If not for our sake, at least for the sake of our children, we should get them involved in this effort. That is, day in and day out, that they are inviting towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and His beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nevertheless, my respected brothers, the point I was getting at is that on the one hand is the teaching, is our present action, and on the other hand, we look at the simplicity of the life of Nabi Prophet. We have made these things difficult. We have made it so difficult. When the man wants to get his daughter married, he hasn't got any money in the bank. He is battling. Sharia has said that the most best nikah is the one where the least expenses is incurred. But now he thinks because the James and the Jones are doing it, now I've also got to do this. He takes out a loan, and for the rest of his life he battles. And because he did everything wrong, within 6 months later the daughter is back in his home. Now he has got an even bigger problem on his head. On his one hand he got the qarz on his head, and on the other hand he allowed his daughter to roam around with that person long before the marriage. They had done everything else that is supposed to take place before the marriage, and everything breaks up. Now that person wants to start crying, and he wants to think that what went wrong, why did this big musibat come upon me? My respected brothers, we find that we take the formula for bringing the musibat, for bringing the difficulty upon us, we go in that direction, and then we want to know why this thing has happened to us. We find when Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw that Abdurrahman bin Auf had performed his nikah, he told him, "Olim walau bishatin," make walima. Not make walima so that you may show off for the next person. Not make walima so that you may invite all the rich people in the town and say that my daughter is getting married and you may spend thousands and thousands. But make walima because it is sunnat of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Olim walau bishatin. He told him, make walima even if it is one sheep that you slaughter. We find that in the ahadith of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got married to 11 women. He had 11 wives. We find the narrator of the hadith says that ma awlama rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala ahadin min nisaihi ma awlama ala zainab awlama bishatin aw kama qal. That Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not give a bigger walima to any of his wives as big a walima as he gave to Zainab radiyallahu anha. And what was that walima? The master of the heavens and the earth, the most beloved creation of Allah Ta'ala, if there ever was izzat, if there ever was respect in these riches and in the spending money lavishly in our weddings, then what wouldn't Allah have given His most beloved Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the occasion of His wedding? Of the 11 wives, the biggest walima was one sheep slaughtered and given to Him. We find, my respect, this comes in another riwayat, that one of the wives of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he performed walima with 2 star of barley. 2 star of barley comes to about 7 kilos of barley. Simplicity at its highest form. And what is the beauty of this? That it makes it so simple. Even the poorest person in society, he doesn't feel hard to get his daughter married. Because Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a Nabi for each and every one of us. The Sharia has given us permission to spend in the walimas. But my respected brothers, not the way we are doing it. Not with this intermingling of gatherings. Not with spending so extravagantly and bringing the azab of Allah Ta'ala upon us. Let us turn towards simplicity. Let us turn towards the teachings of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We find that, in fact, we just narrate one incident from the life of one Sahabi, Salman al-Farsi radiallahu anhu. Inshallah, this week will not go beyond the time. We'll try to keep it short. We find, my respected brothers, that from this incident, there are a few pointers, inshallah, we'll try to draw your attention towards, where we see that Hazrat Salman al-Farsi radiallahu anhu, when he got married to a woman from the tribe of Kinda, after the wedding, he goes with a few of his friends, he is going towards the house of his wife, and he is going to spend the first night with her, what we refer to as Shab-e-Zufaf in Arabic, that is the first night that you're going to spend where you are going to consummate that marriage. He goes to the house, and a few of his friends have followed him. Now we have to look at what would have been our practice. We would have called them inside, come and meet my wife, come and see all these things, see what a beautiful home I've got, see how I have everything set up. But he reaches the door of the house and tells his friends that this is up to where you go. You should not go any further, because it is only the act of fools who will now enter into home, because the wife is something that has to be concealed. Allah Ta'ala's command is in that direction. She is specific, she is khas for that husband, he does not have to share with anybody else, and he should not share with anybody else. We find that he enters the home after having sent his friends away. The moment he enters the home, he sees that there is embroidery, there are draperies throughout the entire house. He asks those people, because they had set up the house for him and his wife, he asks those people, does this house have a fever? What is wrong with this home? So they ask, why are you asking that? So he says, why are the walls full with these special draperies and these special type of curtains? Remove everything else, everything from this home, except that which is over the door. Because he says, does this home have a fever? Or does suddenly the Baytullah, the Kaaba, has it come to Kinda, that now you are filling it with a cloth throughout the entire house? So they remove everything. And then he sees that there are a lot of riches, there are a lot of presents that are found over there. My respected brothers, if we find anything for free, we find all these riches, how we will run towards these things and you will think Allah Ta'ala's barakat, Allah's rahmat has come upon us. But look at the words of the Sahabi of Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He says that what is all these things around here? Ma bi hadha usani qalili sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every step of their life, what was the ta'aleem of Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? He says that my Khalil, Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't order me about all these things. Usani Khalili Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah yakuna mata'i min ad-dunya illa kazadi raqib. That we find that they had understood the deception of this dunya. They had understood the type of effect earning the possessions and the beauties of this dunya has upon the iman of a person. So immediately he says that my Khalil Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told me that I should have about this dunya enough for a traveler. I do not want anything more. Take all these things away from me. Then he sees a lot of servants in the house. He says, what is the need of all these servants? My Khalil, again, the words of Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, every aspect of their life, my Khalil, because they understood that izzat, respect, dignity, honor in this world and the hereafter was only in the sunnah of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and it was in nothing else. If only we can get that understanding that this is the true beauty, this is the true essence, and this is what is going to earn us akhirat, my respected brothers, then we find that our dunya and akhirat will become made. We find, he says, that my Khalil Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has told me to keep only those people with me about whom I can be responsible, that is only my family. I shouldn't keep anybody more than that, because if the servants are going to break the command of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, then I will also have to answer before Allah Ta'ala. I don't want the responsibility, send away the servants from here. Then he sees a lot of women gathered in that room. He says that, will you women please excuse me, I would like to be alone with my wife. That is not to sit around and sit and chatter and waste time in all these frivolous pursuits. He sends them all away. And then we find, my respected brothers, that here is the beauty shown to us of the ta'aleem, the sharia ta'aleem of nikah. He goes up to his wife, he makes her sit down, he places his hand on her forehead, and he makes dua to Allah Ta'ala with that yaqeen that only Allah Ta'ala is going to bring barakat in this nikah. He puts a hand on his forehead and he says, Allahumma inni as'aluka khayraha wa khayra ma fiha wa khayra ma jabalta alayhi wa a'udhu bika min sharriha wa sharri ma fiha wa sharri ma jabalta alayhi. That, ya Allah, I ask of you the khayr, the good of this woman, and the good that you have placed in her, and I seek your protection from her evil and whatever evil is found in her. We find, my respected brothers, that the type of yaqeen, that the success and that I'm going to get good from this woman is only from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. That is the one type. And what is the other type? All those hooting that is going on. The husband and the wife jump into a fancy car. All the people are gathered around it. They go to some haram place where they don't even know if the bedspreads are clean or who has been here before. What we call the honeymoon. Because the Nasara are doing it, we have to do it. They must have their privacy on that first night. They must go far away where there's been music going on. Where down in that very same hotel, liquor is being drunk. At that time there is no thought of the ta'aleem of Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. At that time, how many of us go to our sons and we say, then my son, you are getting married. This is the dua you should read when you meet your wife. This is the dua you should read when you perform intercourse with your wife, etc. Nothing, no interest is given towards the ta'aleem of Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We find we have gone completely in another direction. Here the sahabi brings it so beautifully to us that he is asking Allah Ta'ala, and then he beautifully asks his wife that, are you prepared to obey me? She says that I am sitting in a position of, you are sitting in a place, such a place where it is your right that I should obey you. Then he says, "Ousani Khalili sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, idha jitama'tu ila ahli an ajtami'a ala ta'ati Allahi azza wa jal." And here is our lesson, my respected brothers. He said that my Khalil, Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has given me this wasiyat. He has commanded me that when I go together with my wife, that when I get married, when I live with that woman, the criterion, the foundation, the most fundamental aspect of that marriage, the niyat behind that marriage, the driving force behind that marriage, ala ta'atillahi azza wa jal, to bring the obedience of the command of Allah Ta'ala into our lives. We find, my respected brothers, if we make that the foundation of our nikah, then we will be successful in this year, in this world and hereafter. What a beautiful ta'aleem. And on the other hand, my respected brothers, what is going on in our lives? We find that intermingling, we bring all sorts of people into our home, our wife is displayed to everybody else, then when she goes out with another man, when problems comes about, we want to wonder what is happening. Why, my respected brothers, are we bringing the ta'aleem of the West into our homes? Why are we going in a completely different direction? Once a sahabi addresses Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he says that, ya Rasulullah, if I have to find another man with my wife, I will kill that person straight away. The sahaba around him became very surprised at the vehemence, that ghairat, that dignity, that honor that they had, that my wife is only for me, she is not to be shown to anybody else. They became surprised that this person is saying such a thing. Nabi Abbas said that you are surprised at what he is saying. I have more ghairat, I have more dignity, more honor than he has, and Allah has more ghairat than even I have. That is, Allah Ta'ala cannot tolerate that when you are showing your women in front of anybody else. We find that the person is well off, he is earning very, very well, but he cannot stand that woman wants to go into the shop. The man is standing there, his wife is standing there, her hair is displayed, she is talking to all sorts of people from the public. My respected brothers, where is the ta'aleem of Nabi Muhammad? Where is the dignity? Where is shame? Where is honor? Where is modesty? We find that Nabi Muhammad said that Al-Haya wal-Imanu Quranahu Jami'ah, that Haya, shame, Haya and Iman are two inseparable entities. They are linked to each other. فَإِذَا رُفِيَ أَحَدُهُمَا رُفِيَ الْآخَرِ If one is not found, the other will not be found. الْحَيَاءُ شُعْبَةٌ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ Shame, modesty is one branch of Iman. That is the importance that the Shariat has given to us. But we find that what is our ta'lim? A person will be going past, it hurts us, my respect, when you pass some of the Muslim homes, the man's wife is standing on the street and talking to somebody else. What type of barakat and khair? How are those children are going to be brought up in that home? My respected brothers, we cannot say that she is not pious, I am not interested. Nabi Muhammad said, Allah, kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'ulun an ra'iyati. Be warned, every one of you is a shepherd, and you are going to be questioned concerning your subordinates. You are going to be questioned, why did you not implement the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your home? My respected brothers, shame and dignity have gone out of our homes. We find that the Sahabi says that Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me that I should come together with you on the ibadat, on the ita'at of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the obedience of Allah ta'ala. One incident, very long incident related, where a Sahabi one day is returning home, and we find that he sees his newly married wife standing on the doorstep. Such ghaibat, such honor and dignity they had. He immediately becomes angry and he takes out his sword in that vehemence and in that anger. Immediately his wife tells him that do not be speedy, do not rush toward me like that. You do not know why I came out of the home. There was a snake in that house, that is why he had come out. A Sahih riwayat of Muslim Sharif, where it shows the ghairat and the dignity the Sahaba had. My respected brothers, if we can bring these things into our life, where we do not look at other people's wives, we do not look at other people's women, and we do not show our women to anybody else, then half the problems, half the broken homes, all these things, the ta'aleem of Nabi Muhammad is giving us the prescription, if we can only go in that direction. Nevertheless, Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu, after that, he performs two rakat namaz, his wife also performs namaz, thereafter, they do what any married couple does on the first night. Then the next day, we find that his friends come to him, and the first question, كيف وجدت أهلك? That how did you find your wife? What was it like? How was your first night? What will be our reaction? And look at what the reaction of that Sahabi is. He says, he turned away from them. Then they came from the other side and asked him the same question. He turned away again. Then they came and persisted and asked the same question again. How was it? How was your first night? How was the wife? We find that Sharia teaches us tasattur, to conceal what goes on in that home. Immediately the Sahabi tells this person that concern yourself with what is apparent and what is zahir. Do not concern yourself what has Allah Ta'ala created windows, what has Allah Ta'ala created doors and curtains for. Do not concern yourself with what that which is hidden. And he says that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is given the similitude of a person who performs intercourse with his wife and then he goes and talks about it. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said it is like two donkeys having intercourse in public. We find, my respected brothers, let us learn about these things and let us bring these things into our life. We find, I had intended also to talk about what Nabi Muhammad has taught us concerning how we should deal with our wife, but unfortunately I have run out of time. Allah Ta'ala gives life an opportunity to continue after the honor.
For the latest in Islamic computer software, Islamic audio CDs and cassettes for your hi-fi or car, contact Par Excellence at 011-830097. That's 011-830097. Par Excellence is a premier producer of Islamic software, CDs and audio tapes. They are produced to the highest standards, thereby assuring premium digital sound quality. So call Par Excellence in Johannesburg at 011-830097. It is the duty of every Muslim to read and understand the Holy Quran. Par Excellence, South Africa's premier producer of Islamic CD-ROMs, audio CDs and cassettes, have just launched the complete Quran with English translation.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. It comes packaged in a beautiful presentation box of 40 cassettes. Each cassette is clearly marked as to the beginning and end verse of each track. To ensure the best sound quality, the cassettes are recorded using the latest digital recording technology. To get your copy, call Par Excellence in Johannesburg, 011-830097.
And there is none like unto him.